Well, if you have been part of our church for the last several years, you know that we always take a week sometime in January to talk about giving. And this is the point where people go, oh, great, another pastor speaking about giving. And it's funny, though, because when I started the church, I actually thought I would never do a message on giving. Because growing up in the church, I remember hearing those messages. I remember hearing pastors talk about giving, and it always felt like this guilt trip, you know? They seemed like they only talked about giving when the church was struggling financially, and they just wanted you to give and to give more, and it just kind of drove me crazy. Honestly, I felt like they just lacked faith. Come on, man, just trust in God. He's your provider, right? Why do you got to sit there and beg from people? And I just thought, man, they just lacked faith. And so when I became a senior pastor, I never planned to do a message on giving. It wasn't something that I intended to do. But it was interesting because the second or third year after we had planted, I realized that we were beginning to be known in our community as a giving church. And I realized that talking about giving didn't need to be a negative thing. It didn't need to be one of those things that you do only when you don't have the money and you're begging people to give money that you could talk about when God is blessing and when He's doing good things. It doesn't have to be a negative thing. And the truth is, we're all called to give. And it's a wonderful thing to be known as a giving church. I've said from the very beginning, since we planted this church, that we're not here to take from our community. That's not why we're here. That we're here to give back to our community. And so for the past 3 or 4 years, I've taken time in January to talk about giving as we look at our past year financially. At the end, as I finish today, we'll look a little bit at our finances and where we're at and where we're moving. And so we take some time to talk about these things on a positive note of how God has called us to give. And so as I was praying about this message again, praying about, Lord, how would you have me share this year, the word faithful just kept rising to the surface. And as I look back over the past 7 years that we have been a church, I realize that faithful giving has allowed us to become a giving church. And so this idea of faithfulness, of being faithful, has been stirring in my heart. And that question of what is faithfulness? What does it mean to be faithful? And what does it mean to give faithfully? Now let me say this. As I talk about giving this morning, I'm not just talking about money. That's where we go to immediately, right? We think about money. And yes, thinking of the finances as I prepared for this message, that was my main focus as I began processing this message. But there are all different ways that we are called to give that go far beyond finances. And so that's what we're going to kind of look at today. So as we talk about giving faithfully, the title of my message, what is it that I'm really trying to share? What is it that I really want to speak to us this morning? Well, I think we have to start by looking at that word faithfully. What does it mean to be faithful? The thing I've noticed about this word, when I was thinking about this word and processing this word, is that it doesn't have the same weight today as it did in Bible times, as when you look in the Scriptures. The truth is, when we really look at our world today, it's harder and harder to find people who are faithful in anything, who are committed to something for a good period of time. It's hard to find that. The world has kind of devalued this idea of faithfulness. And I say that because when we look at our world, there's a lot of things that we're unfaithful in, right? We're unfaithful in our marriages. We're unfaithful in our jobs. We're unfaithful to ourselves. As oftentimes we give up on our dreams and our aspirations, our goals and the things that we thought that we would do. We even, in today's world, quite often give up on our churches, and we even give up on God at times in our lives, which is kind of ironic because God is the perfect picture of faithfulness. God will never give up on any of us. In Deuteronomy 7:9, it says, and I have this to go up on the screen, it says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping His covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love Him and keep His commands." We serve a faithful God. And His desire is for us to be like Him and to live faithful lives, to be faithful people ourselves, to learn how to walk in that faithfulness. And so the thing we have to realize is that it doesn't matter what the world's view of being faithful or faithfulness is. What matters is God's view. What matters is His desire for our lives. God should always be our standard, not the world, right? And if God is our standard, He holds faithfulness in a high place. Proverbs 3:3 says this. Again, another one I have to go on the screen. I'm bouncing around today a lot of various scriptures, so I'm just putting them all on the screen for you today. It says this, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." God tells us here that we're to never let faithfulness leave you. And I think it's obvious how important faithfulness is to the Lord. Because if you remember at Christmas, we talked about love and how important love is to the Lord. Because God is love, right? We talked about He is love. Everything in Him is about love. It is so important. And in this verse, it says, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you." He partners them together. So it's obvious that faithfulness is important to the Lord. And so the big question for us this morning is, how do we become people who walk in faithfulness? And as I prayed about this, the Lord put four things on my heart that I think will help us learn to walk in faithfulness. And the first is this. Number one, we must understand that faithfulness is a process. It's a process. Faithfulness doesn't just happen, woo, overnight, right? We wish it did. We wish and just, boom, we're faithful. It doesn't happen overnight. I think marriage is a great example of this. After being married to my wife a month, 2 months, 3 months, whatever, I didn't have anybody come up and say, "Wow, man, you've been married through it. You are so faithful in your marriage," right? I mean, most of us make it past the honeymoon phase, okay? But after 10 years, after 15 years, and now after 24 years, my wife and I could be described as people who have been faithful in our marriage to one another. But it's been a process. We didn't get to 24 years overnight. It's taken years of hard work and dedication, putting up with one another. And trust me, especially for her, my poor wife had no idea what she was saying yes to when she agreed to marry me, okay? I had pulled the wool over her eyes, and she thought she was getting this perfect Marine that, you know, could do no wrong. And then she found out, right? But the point is, we don't become faithful overnight. It doesn't just happen. Faithfulness is a result of continued dedication, continued hard work. It's persevering through the difficult times. As in a marriage, in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, right? All those things that you said in your wedding vows. It's persevering through those times. It's choosing day in and day out to keep going, even when we don't feel like it. It's not allowing ourselves to give up or to give in. And regardless of what it is, God's calling us to be faithful to. You see, faithful people don't give up when things get difficult. Faithful people press on and press through. Now let me just say this as I'm saying this. Because I want people to think that I know that there's two sides to marriage, and you can be faithful and someone else cannot be. And so let me just throw that out there, okay? As people have walked through that, and we know that there are people that we deal with those things every day. And so I just wanted to make sure that you understand that. I'm not saying that if things haven't worked for you, that it's because you haven't pushed through in your faithfulness. Just know that, okay? I just use marriage as a side, and I'm using ours because we have pushed through things. Because I can tell you, it's been difficult. We've had some hard times. There were times where my wife and I, early on, we had to go to counseling, and I thought, oh man, seriously? Me, a young youth pastor, have to go to counseling? Yes, we had to go through and work through those things. So anyways, let me just throw that in as a side note. But we have to realize that to truly be faithful in things, we've got to push through. We've got to press on. And we have to realize that faithfulness is a process. It's something that takes place over time, continually, faithfully doing it again and again, which leads me to my second point, that even though it's a process, we must start somewhere, right? We must start somewhere. That point of faithfulness has to start at some point. Going back to the example of our marriage, our journey of faithful marriage started on November 5th, 1994. As two young people both said, I do. I do. And even though, as I said earlier, 1 month later, no one was calling me a faithful husband, that, oh, wow, you've made it a month, 2 months, 3 months, you're so faithful. The fact is, the journey had begun. It started. The commitment had been made. The process was in the beginning stages, but it had been started. And even though true faithfulness is a process, it has to start somewhere. We have to say, okay, today, let's begin this process of faithfulness, of doing what God has called me to do. In Joshua 24:14, Joshua says this, now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. And then he continues in verse 15 saying this, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, when Joshua, I think my battery, did the sound just go out? Test, test. Oh, it just went, sounded like it just went dead. Okay. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Sorry, just kidding. I switched from Verizon to Sprint. Can you hear me now? Sorry. Let me get back on track, because I can easily go in different directions here. When Joshua was saying, yeah, squirrels all over the place. Now, when Joshua was saying these words, he had already lived a life of faithfulness. But he was talking to the next generation of Israel at this time. And he's saying to them, I've lived a life of faithfulness. I know who I'm going to choose to serve. But today, it's time for you to make a choice. It's time for you to start the process for yourself. The process has to start somewhere for all of us. And it begins by making a commitment to whatever it is that God has called you to. Because this process of faithfulness will never happen if we don't jump in, if we don't begin. Now here's the thing. As we're beginning the process, and as we're in the midst of the process, the reality is we're going to make mistakes. None of us are perfect. We're going to mess up at times while we're on this journey. My wife can tell you that I have messed up numerous times in the last 24 years. More times than she can ever count. But it leads me to the third thing that we need to understand if we want to be faithful in anything. And that's this. Number three, we must get back up when we fail. Proverbs 24:16 says, "For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again." I always think of Toby Mac's song, "I lose my way, I get back up again, never too late to get back up again," right? It's that thing of, I may fall, but I get back up again. And I believe this is what separates true followers of Jesus who are determined to live their life for the Lord from a non-follower. A follower of Jesus gets back up when they fail because they know of His grace, they know of His love, and they get back up. If we want to remain faithful, we have to get back in the game. We have to continue in the process. One of my favorite people in the Bible is Peter. I love Peter, maybe because I can relate to him so well, because we see all of his failures, and I have failed so many times. I love Peter, and I think it's because there's this amazing picture of faithfulness in Peter's life. He dedicated his life to fulfill the Great Commission. Peter was willing to give everything to follow Jesus. And eventually he did. Eventually he died for his Savior. But there were plenty of times along the way when Peter failed. There were plenty of times along the way when Peter could have quit, when he could have given up. But he didn't. He remained faithful and he continued to give all that he had. And the thing we can learn from Peter is that he didn't let the mistakes keep him down. He didn't let his failures keep him from moving forward. He didn't let those failures keep him from persevering and remaining faithful to his Savior that he loved. Peter made a lot of mistakes. We see it throughout the Scriptures, numerous times throughout the New Testament where we see Peter mess up, where we see Jesus correct him, where we see him fail. But every time Peter failed, guess what? He got back up. He got back up. Now, was he embarrassed? Was he ashamed? Of course. We all at times were embarrassed and were ashamed. Luke 22, 61 actually shows us this. It says this, it says, "The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly." Can you imagine? "Lord, I will give my life for you. I will die for you." And then when it comes down to it, he says, "I don't know that man. I don't know that man. Curse you, I don't know that man." And as he's saying that, and as the rooster crows, Jesus looks at him. Can you imagine the hurt and the pain that must have gone through Peter? Peter knew he messed up and it hurt. But he picked himself back up. And he continued to press on. Peter became faithful because he didn't allow his failures to keep him down. So often we allow our failures to take us out of the game. We abandon our calling and our commitment to the Lord because it seems so much easier just to quit. And the truth is, it probably is at the time, at the moment, right? It's much easier to quit. Because being faithful is rarely easy. But it's what God asks of us. We're going to fail at times in our lives. But if we want to live a life of faithfulness to the Lord, we have to get back up when we fail. We have to continue the process so that we can be people who walk in faithfulness, which will lead to the fourth and final thing this morning, which is this. We must realize faithfulness produces fruitfulness. When we remain faithful, when we push through and we keep seeking the Lord, when we get back up and we keep seeking the Lord, we're going to see His fruitfulness in our lives. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells us the parable of the talents. And I'm just going to paraphrase it for time this morning. But if you aren't familiar with the story, a master leaves on a journey and he entrusts his money to his servants while he's gone. There's three servants. To one servant he gives 5 talents. To another servant he gives 2 talents. And to the last servant he gives 1 talent. The one with 5 and 2 talents invests the money and ends up doubling it before the master returns. But the one with the 1 talent, he's afraid of losing that 1 talent. And so he goes and he hides it and he buries it. Now the master returns and the master is pleased with the 2 that invest the money. But he isn't pleased with the 1 that buried it. Now there's a lot you can take from this parable. There's a lot that we can learn from this parable that Jesus shared. But I want to focus on the response of the master to the first 2. He basically says the same thing to both of them. In Matthew 25:21, it says this: "His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.'" Both of them were faithful, and because of their faithfulness, they were given more. Their faithfulness produced fruitfulness. When we're faithful to the Lord, He is faithful to give us more. He is faithful to produce fruit in our lives. But here's the thing we have to realize. In this parable, if you were to read it, it says, after a long time, the master returned. Now, we don't know how long they worked to double this money. Was it weeks? Was it months? Was it years? Was it tens of years? We don't know the answer to that question. But here's the thing. The reality is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how long it is. It's our job to be faithful with what He gives us. And to continue day in and day out. To keep going. To keep doing the work that God has called us to do. The Lord will determine when we receive the fruit. We have to be faithful and faithful and faithful, and God will then produce the fruit in our lives when He sees fit. So as we begin to understand what it means to be faithful, to live a life of faithfulness, how does this translate into giving faithfully? Well, again, I think we have to realize it's a process. It's choosing day in and day out to be people who give. Whether that's giving of our time, giving of our talents, our resources, giving of our money, whatever it is, we have to choose to be faithful to give whatever it is that God is calling us to give. And that's the key. What is God asking us to do in all of these areas? Whether it's our time, our talents, our resources, our money, are we asking God what we're supposed to do? And as we continue to do what He asks of us, we will continue to grow in this area of giving faithfully. We also have to realize that we got to start somewhere. This journey of being faithful in our giving begins by starting to give. By saying, you know what, Lord, I've been selfish with my time. I've been selfish with my talents and my resources. I need to learn how to give. I need to learn how to be a giver. I need to start somewhere. It starts by doing, by saying, Lord, I'm going to start today to be a person with a giving heart, whatever that means, whatever He's asking you to do. The problem is we're really good at making excuses. We're really good at saying, well, I don't have any time to give. Have you seen my schedule? Look at my phone here. It's booked out from now till eternity. How am I going to give of my time? I don't have I don't have talents that really work for what you need. What can I do? Little old me, it's just me. What can I do, right? We use these excuses. I don't have any money, man. It all goes to the government. I don't have this, I don't have that. Really, we all can fill in the blanks of these excuses. But my encouragement to people when they share these things with me is, hey, just start small. Doesn't matter how small it is, all that matters is that you start to do it. Don't be like the servant that only had one talent and so he buried it. He didn't do what he should have done with that talent. He didn't use it for the glory of the Lord. Be faithful with what you have, and God will bless that and will give you more. God knows it's hard. And here's the thing. God knows where each of us are at in the process. He knows us better than we know ourselves. But we can't become faithful in our giving if we don't start to give in the ways that God is asking us to give. There's a great quote by the great tennis player Arthur Ashe. It's a hard one to say 10 times straight. Arthur Ashe. He once said this, "Start where you are, use what you have, do what you can." It's a great quote. And in the heart of giving, I would tweak it just a little bit. I would say, start now, give what you have, give what you can. We have to begin now to learn how to give willingly to the Lord, whether that's our time, whether that's our resources, our talents, our money, whatever. Because the more we give, the more faithful we become in our giving to the Lord. Now again, the reality is when we're faithful with little, God will then ask us to do more. And it's often those big leaps that we started, like, look, I'm being faithful, I'm giving, I'm doing what God's called us to do. But when God asks us to give more, it's those big leaps that then paralyze us and cause us to freeze, cause us to hold back. We become fearful and we kind of stop. Well, I was okay with giving this much, with giving this much time, with these resources. But can I really give that much time? Can I really give that much money? Do I really have the talents to do that? We begin to question ourselves, and it's the fear and doubt that hold us back and cause us to fail when it comes to giving faithfully. But like I shared earlier, when we fail, when we choose not to step out, we have one of two options. We can wallow in our failure, say, oh, well, I just can't afford it, I can't do it, I don't have the time, it is what it is, I just won't be as good as I should be. Do we wallow in all that? Or do we get back in the game? Do we say, you know what, Lord, I know who you have called me to be, and I know what you have called me to do, and I know that in my mind it doesn't work, but I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to get back in the game. I'm going to do what you have called me to do. We need to let God help us give beyond what we think we can give. We have to let Him be our strength, and we need to remember that He won't ask us to do more than we're capable of doing in and through Him. Because if He's asking us to do it, He'll give us the strength to come through, to do it. So get back in the game and know that as you continue to give, your faithfulness will produce fruitfulness. Let me finish with this. I mentioned that we are known as a giving church. But that didn't happen overnight. It wasn't like Dallas showed up on the map, Dallas Four Square Church, and all of a sudden, look, a giving church. It didn't happen overnight. 3 months before we planted the church planted in January 15th, 2012, early October of 2011, I was at our district conference, getting ready to plant the church, excited, vision, all those things. And it was at that district conference that our district was sending out our first missionaries to Alaska. First intercontinental or continental United States missionaries, whatever it is. That they were sending out the first missionaries to Alaska. And as I sat there and as I listened to these missionaries share their heart to minister to the natives of Alaska, there was something stirring in me. And I felt like the Lord was calling us as a church to support these missionaries of Alaska. Now, we hadn't even launched the church yet. We didn't have any income or money coming in. I had no idea when we launched this church, you know, would we average like $5 a week or what? Like, I had no idea what we would get when we launched this church. I had no idea if I would even get paid. You know, I didn't know if I would have to use up our savings until I could find a job somewhere else. I didn't know what was going on. But I felt God stirring in my heart that we should give to Alaska. And I told my wife that I was just simply going to commit to $25 a month. Even if it had to come out of our savings, out of our money, we're going to do it. We're going to just give $25 a month to Alaska missionaries. That's $300 a year. We started as a church giving $300 a year to missions, $25 a month. It wasn't much, but we faithfully gave for the first 2.5 years. We just faithfully, $25 a month, we wrote a check to the missionaries of Alaska. And God provided. Even through ups and downs and in the start, God provided. We just faithfully gave. And it was at about the 2.5 year mark that the Swans, the India missionaries that we prayed for earlier today, started talking about going to India as missionaries. And at that time, we had had some people in the church that had started giving to missions. And so we began praying about maybe sponsoring them as well as our Alaska missionaries. And it was at that time that the Lord told us to give our entire offering that next Sunday to help send these missionaries to India. And we didn't know. We'd range. I mean, 1 week we could get like $400 or $500 up to, you know, several thousand dollars, you know, a new church plant. We didn't know what, but God just said, whatever comes in this week, give it to the Indian missionaries to send them off. And so we had $2,200 come in the offering. And it was like, okay, Lord, you're going to keep the lights on in here, right? You're going to continue to pay the bills, right? But we're going to be faithful to do what you've called us to do. And we gave $2,200 to the Indian missionaries to head off and to begin their mission. And then it was 5 or 6 months later that year, towards the end of that, what would be our third year, the Alaska missionaries were raising money for some boats that would allow them to do some mission work in areas that they couldn't get without these special boats. These boats would help break ice getting up. They broke ice as they went along to get up to areas that they couldn't get to without these special boats. And the Lord put it on my heart, and so I took it before the council, and we decided, you know what we're going to do? Not only are we going to give them everything that comes in this Sunday, we're going to match whatever it is. And so I'm like, okay, is this going to be a big offering or a little offering? Whatever, you know? And it was, I think it was $3,300 that came in. So we matched it. And we knew, God said, $6,600 we're going to send to these missionaries in Alaska. And it was pretty amazing because they were about to give up on these boats. And we kind of helped launch them in to finally get these boats because they needed that extra money for these boats. And so we did it. We sent $6,600. And that year in all, we ended up giving $13,000 to missions. It didn't just happen overnight. It was after 2.5 years, after faithfully giving $25 a month, 2 years. The first 2 years, we gave $300 to missions. And that third year, we gave $13,000. Our faithful giving produced fruitful giving. And that was above and beyond what we could ever hope or imagine as a young church to do. And I believe that if we are people who continue on this journey of just giving faithfully, whatever, how little or how big that God calls us to do, whether it's finances, whether it's time, whether it's resources, talents, whatever it is, as if we just faithfully give, as we continue to give faithfully, that we will see His fruit from our giving. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank you, Lord, for how you have blessed this church. We thank you, Lord, for faithful givers, people who have given faithfully, not just financially, but have given of their time and serve in ministries in this church that make a difference, Lord, in this church and throughout our community, Lord. And we thank you for the faithfulness of these people. And we want to continue to be people who walk in faithfulness, Lord. We want to be keep pressing in and doing the things that you've called us to do, even those things that seem above and beyond ourselves. That we keep saying yes to you to do the things that you've called us to do. As we're faithful with little, you will continue to give us more. And Lord, I just pray that as you give us more, that we don't step back in fear, but we just continue to trust you and continue to be who you've called us to be as individuals, Lord, but also as a church. Lord, that we would continually seek you in all these things, Lord. And so we thank you, Lord, that you are a faithful God who is always faithful to us, who never gives up on us, Lord. We are so thankful for that. And we pray that you would help us to learn from that example that you show us, that we would become people who are faithful ourselves, faithful in our relationship with you, faithful in living the life that you've called us to live, faithful in our giving, and whatever that looks like, whatever you've called us to do, whether it's our time, resources, talents, finances, whatever, Lord, that we would be faithful to live the lives that you've called us to live, that we wouldn't be like the servant who buried that one talent, but we would continue to give to you, and as we give, we would see it multiplied, that we would see it reproduced time and time again, Lord. And so we thank you for these things and pray that you would just continue to challenge us in our giving, continue to challenge us to be who you have called us to be, Lord. We thank you for these things. We give these things to you. In Jesus' name, amen.